At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The government this morning launched its long-awaited new housing plan entitled Delivering Homes, Building Communities. It'll be the fourth housing plan in 12 years, and it pledges to deliver more than 300,000 homes by 2030, as promised in the programme for government, increasing social and affordable homes and purchasing second-hand homes to help people exit homelessness. So is all that enough to ease the housing crisis that the Department of Finance said last week will last another 15 years? Well, the Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage is the person charged with doing all of that. James Brown, he joins me now. Minister, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Now, you are advising aspiring homeowners to hang in there. Now, you know, people say that's hardly a good response. You wouldn't say that to someone on a trolley in the health service. Hang on in there.
So I think what we've seen in the last number of years is a step change in the delivery of homes in this country. We've moved from 20,000 to approximately 30,000 homes per year, but our population has increased significantly. We're also seeing a change in the dynamic of that population and the kind of housing supports they need. So we need to make that step change too as a government to increase housing delivery and deliver 300,000 homes by 2030, and that's what this plan really is about.
Would that change the Department of Finance's forecast then that the housing crisis will last another 15 years?
Absolutely. So the Department of Finance proposals are set around a no-change scenario, and I'm certainly not accepting a no-change scenario. We've pulled a huge amount of levers in the Department of Housing, also Minister Donoghue in the Department of Finance as well, in terms of addressing affordability so people can afford the homes that they need in the communities they want to live in, but also the viability, because housing plans that never leave the drawing board are no good to anybody. Nobody can live in them. So we want those homes built and we want people to be able to live them, whether that's in the cities, whether it's in our provincial towns or in our rural areas. And that's what this plan is really about activating supply, which is the first of the key pillars. And of course, the second key pillar is about supporting people, exiting them out of homelessness, preventing them from going into homelessness, and also there are supports for those who are in homelessness.
And
well,
that's the headline in the 180-page document which we got. So activating supply and supporting people. Let's talk about that activating supply first of all. Removing structural barriers to home building. What are they?
Well, I believe we've tied ourselves up into knots in this country in terms of housing delivery. We've delivered tens of thousands of homes in the past, over 80,000 in a single year. But I think in an attempt to do often the right thing, we've created so much regulation in this country that it's become almost impossible for home builders.
But in that pre-Celtic Tiger era, what were we doing that allowed us to build all of those houses and we can't do it now? I mean, what has changed? Because we've only recently changed the Planning Act, but the same Planning Act was there for the Celtic Tiger building boom of 80,000 a year.
I think what has changed has been that I think there's been regulation on top of regulation. And I think what we've seen at times is our courts being weaponized as well from a very small number of people who perhaps have a view that we shouldn't be really developing the economy at all and shouldn't be, in terms of building more homes or building more infrastructure in the state. And what I've been trying to do is my mantra is simplification and standardization. And that's what we did in the past. It was we this more straightforward system, albeit taking the learnings from the past and ensuring we keep that framework in place so mistakes of the past are not made.
But developers will probably say, listen, every time we set out a plan and we're going to develop this site in a particular way, we hang on in there because maybe I'll get another story out of the government. You know, it was six stories, now it's seven, now it's eight. Now maybe I could get 12 in a tower in this development. So are you saying to developers now, this is it. There will be no more changes. You got this for the next 5 years. We will not give you any more.
Absolutely. When I became Minister for Housing, I sat down, I looked at what are those barriers there in terms of financial viability. We've pulled a huge amount of levers around apartment specification, around tax incentives. There will be no more supports. I think the construction industry recognise that themselves. They do The feedback I'm getting is that these changes will now accelerate home delivery in this country. But of course, the other side of that, which is most important, is that people can get access to those homes in a bit of, in an affordable
manner. You know,
as well,
that part of the idea of changing the standards for apartments, so single aspect is more acceptable, no balconies, fewer lift shafts having to be built for apartments of blocks of a certain size, that there's a judicial review process against all of that, saying it's creating the slums of the future. And, you know, when you look at badly built, jerry-built apartment blocks of the past, and we've had fire safety risks, we've all of those things, you have to be very careful about changing standards.
Extremely careful, and we're certainly not going back to the past, and I wouldn't tolerate that. And the specifications we changed, I was absolutely adamant and ensured that there's no change to fire regulations, there's no change to environmental or quality regulations, no changes to disability regulations, but they were overspecced. And that was, the proof was in the pudding, that we'd well over 40,000 planning permissions in Dublin alone that were not being activated because they were not viable. And they are homes that are no good to people if they're not coming off the off the drawing board, to those families and those children who are living at home in people's box rooms or can't get
Will
the
you explain to us, though, what is the overspecking aspect that you don't like? I mean, how are you changing the standards to make them cheaper for builders to build? Because that should make it cheaper for people to buy.
So some of the specifications was simply, you know, out of kilter with the rest of Europe, way too many lift shafts to the number of apartments, for example. That was one challenge around it. Also kind of micro managing how many 1, 2, 3, 4 bedrooms should be in each, if you like, box unit of apartments in the city as well. So just those kind of things that kind of give more flexibility to the system to be able to deliver. The government has control over delivering social homes, over affordable homes, what we don't have control over is the private sector, but we can be enablers and get out of their way, as I say, while retaining that really important framework. For me, it's not just about specifications. It's about ensuring that we can also change the culture. I think people are, it may be in the system, are way too cautious. And I think the approach there is today.
Even with the new Planning Act, which was not your doing, I know, we've always been calling on this program for allowing people lay down the rules and make it a rules-based system that everybody knows where they stand. They know how many stories can be built in their area. The developer knows that, the council knows that, the punter knows that. That'll get things done. Because everyone thinks they can get round it, they can go to on commission plan all and get a few more bits and pieces out of the planning system. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas if everybody knows what the rules are, this is what you can do, no more, no less, that's what you can do. Why does government, successive governments, resist that approach?
Well, I certainly don't resist that approach. That's where I want to get to.
And if the new Planning Act embodies that approach.
If you look at the challenge to the specifications, I think it's about 6 people in the entire country bringing that challenge. You look at the challenge to the Greater Dublin Drainage, which is essential for ensuring that our water, we have clean water. It's 2 people taking that challenge, and that's their right. But what I'm doing, we are changing the judicial review rules as well to make it far more harder for people to be able to go to court to challenge the rules. Because I do believe that we should have a system not set up of why should I say yes, but is there a reason I should say no? And that's a cultural change I've been trying to drive into the system. Because in most other countries, you do what's known as a county development plan. A plot of land is set out that you can build X amount of houses at X density there. That goes to public consultation. Once that's done, that's the end of it. It's almost
And that should be the end of it. Therefore, the county development plan should be sacrosanct, but it's not.
No.
Constantly, they appeal against what is laid down in the county development plan. And I can't understand. Now, several judges have said you can't do that, but others have allowed it.
Others have allowed it, but I'm making that far more difficult through the changes to the judicial review system, so that only people who maybe have had a genuine interest in that plan or of that particular building, where they believe it is really not in scope within the development plan, should be able to make that challenge. And that's the culture change I'm trying to bring to the system now, and just getting to yes rather than, you know, why should we say
okay,
yes.
Okay, so by and large, councils will be told, listen, try to give permissions, not try to stop them.
Exactly, that's where we're getting to.
Unlocking land is another pledge you've made. There is a huge demand still, in spite of, you know, cultural changes, that people want to live in houses. They want maybe not a front garden, but they certainly want a back garden for their kids. And yet people are being shoehorned into apartments where they would prefer a different lifestyle. Is it the end of the two-bed semi? three beds.
No, it's not an end to the two or three bed semi. I think what it's about giving people the options to live where they want to live. I know plenty of young people who don't want to have a family, want to live in the city centre in a high quality apartment, but other people want to have that family home where they can have that garden. And it's about people being able to have those opportunities. So I take the view it's not my position to dictate what kind of home people should be able to live in, but ensure that those opportunities are there for people. And again, kind of getting away out of the system rather than trying to micromaster the entire country as who lives where.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
And that business of unlocking land, how do you propose to do that?
So what we've done under what's known as the National Planning Framework, which effectively tells local authorities how much land to zone, we've written out to every local authority and told them to significantly increase the amount of zoned land. Because again, what happened in the past was we tried to zone the exact amount of land for the exact amount of houses in very particular areas for the houses that we thought we needed. My view is you need more land zoned than you need for houses. You need competition that drives down land prices and will help deliver land that builders or developers or individuals want to build on as well.
What about the price of land, which is a huge component of the price of any built development?
So I think the price of land is as a consequence of that shortage of supply of land. And that's what I'm trying to drive now, is a significant increase in the supply of zoned land and service land. So there is that competition. If there's one small parcel of land left in a large town, that person can hold any builder to ransom. I don't want that situation. I want multiple parcels. So there is competition, which will in turn increase supply, but also drive down that cost of land to create that level of competition.
But even in terms of, you say you have an acre, and the price of that acre will depend on the permission that's likely to be got. So if there are 20 units in that acre, you know, apartments or whatever, the price of that land soars through the roof. If, however, there are only six houses, the price of the land can't soar through the roof. Are you going to meddle in that free market pricing of land?
I think you have to be very careful about meddling in that type of situation. You know, we do have now as a state, if homes are built on land, you know, whether it's stamp duty or whether it's VAT, or whether it's development levies, unlike maybe 30, 40 years ago, the state actually does get a significant amount of funds from those developments, so we do. But, you know, there is also, of course, the element that somebody who maybe is not developing any land, but suddenly the land becomes far more viable as a result of zoning, and that's where we have the residential zoned land tax. But the main purpose of that is not to kind of take money off people, it's to kind of drive that land into being released for development.
Now, delivering infrastructure is another of your promises. And the question of critical infrastructure, strategic infrastructure, when will the rules change so that you can't get objections to vital systems like water delivery, for example?
So that's absolutely crucial. Minister Chambers is doing an awful lot of work in this area as well. So I've now commenced the section under new 2024 Planning and Development Act, which really tightens up how people can take legal challenges against planning, and that includes infrastructure, so that, for example, what's known as the leave stage, and your listeners might be familiar with it, but it's where someone goes to court to seek permission to take a court case. That was meant to be kind of a screening exercise, but everybody pretty much gets it for the asking at this stage. Also, that somebody will have to have a real particular local interest, so someone from Donegal can't object to a house, for example, in Galway or Wexford, and also removing the appeal stage as well. All of these will speed up and also make it more difficult for someone to take a challenge, not stopping it, but making it far more difficult. They will have to have a genuine interest in it. And we are looking now to how we can expand that type of judicial review change right across the state.
But it's not only about judicial reviews. It's about people maybe having an objection to a water piece of infrastructure, whether it's a treatment plant or whatever. We watched Arklow for decades trying to get permission. It's finally completed and so on. But that idea that if you do need sewage treatment for people, it does take priority over other objections.
Absolutely. For me, I think what has been lost in recent years is the common good, the utilitarianism, and also proportionality. So what we've built now into the new Act as well, that if someone even does succeed in their judicial review, that the courts can order a change to the plan rather than sending
the whole thing back to the drawing board.
Because I think that was complete lack of proportionality there.
Capacity in the industry. Now, there are two ways you can get more houses built. One is you can do it better and cheaper and more efficiently with modern means of construction, or you can get more people in. We don't see much of the first, and we're crying out for people in Sydney and so on to come back for the second.
I think we have been behind on modern methods of construction in this country, and I've seen some extraordinary work going on in other countries. But I think the work that Minister James Lawless is doing in the Department of Further and Higher Education, combined with the work Minister Burke in Department of Enterprise and the plan that we've set out here around modern methods of construction, I think will really now start to drive modern methods of construction. Because the reality is, look, people are not going into block laying, for example. You're not going to have the block layers of the future. We have to use modern methods of construction, 3D printing, for example.
Even 3D printing is kind of a bit tedious. There is a system in Germany, which I saw online, where they use like a pad, which becomes the mortar between the blocks. Mm. And the houses go up, the sites are clean, they go up in jig time. And I haven't heard anyone in the CIF talking about implementing that technology here. And there are other technologies as well, which you can find very easily online. And Irish people don't either want them, or they're just too mired in tradition to go that way.
Now, I had a good conversation with the EU Housing Commissioner on this only a few weeks ago. And this is something that's common right across Europe. The construction industry tends to be one of the least productive industries in any country in Europe. But I think really it's on the modern methods of construction, it's not just about having the technology there, but it's about training the tradespeople, training builders in terms of the benefit, the speed, the cost savings in terms of doing it. But I do, talking to developers now, feel that for the first time, they are really starting to focus on themselves, because they cannot get the tradespeople, and we're not going to have the tradespeople we need at the scale. We have to move to modern methods of construction and how we can get these homes built more quickly using technology.
Some of the comments coming in and questions. I structurally survey second-hand houses professionally. Since the minister's change to the rental sector in August, 90% of the houses I'm surveying coming to the market are rental houses. Landlords selling up to move down to the small landlord category, i.e. a landlord with four or more houses is a large landlord and can sell after March 2026 for 6 years. This will decimate the rental sector.
I think what it'll do is bring certainty into the rental sector. But for me, renters are not just about those people who are renting who will have security now. It's also about getting viability and getting more apartments and more houses built so people have somewhere to rent. And the reality is our apartment delivery is not happening anymore because of that viability.
And when it does happen, it's mostly for rent. I mean, you talk about people wanting to rent. Some people actually want to buy. And very little in the apartment sector is being put up for sale.
So a lot of it is for rent. And we do need rental properties to help drive down rental supply. And there is evidence that shows when there has been some significant large for rent apartment blocks delivered in Dublin, rents do come down. But you're absolutely right. Apartments to purchase are absolutely crucial as well. And that's where we have a scheme that's known as the Croí Cónaithe Cities Scheme that has been a little bit slow to take off, where we subsidise apartments for building to be able to purchase. But we've seen now a significant oversubscription for those from developers. And I think you're going to see that really take off in the coming years.
What's in this plan about the modular building in the back garden?
So the plan sets out that we are going to deliver on that promise. Public consultations have already happened. Minister John Cummins is the Minister of State in the Department of Housing, is doing an awful lot of work on this, and he's finalising the proposals for those modulars for in the back garden. We do need to get it right. Obviously, there's fire safety issues, there's wastewater issues, and also about getting that balance. Some people want to provide them, and they will help, you know, to provide.
So how soon?
But also, of course, some people don't want to see them in their back gardens
sure.
either.
And maybe not in the back garden of the person next door.
Yeah, absolutely.
How soon, though, will this regime come into play?
I think it'll come into play over the coming months, so it is. Because it's not just the exemption piece we're doing is massive. It's not just on the modular homes. It's about allowing people, for example, at the moment you need planning permission to put a Velux window in the front of your house. We want that gone, for example. You want to convert your attic, get rid of the need for planning permission for there, for granny flats. But it's also about, bus shelters need planning permission. That needs to go on. We're going right through the entire system to maximise exemptions in healthcare, in education, in disabilities, as well as in the housing sector as well.
Quick question here. Ask the housing minister why the derelict housing grant is so difficult to get and why a bit of the old house has to be kept. Keeping a crumbling part of the house could use up half the grant. Builders also finding difficulty in standing over that crumbling part of the build.
So we'll always keep these under review. The derelict grant has been significantly subscribed to. Lots and lots of people have shown huge interest in it, and it's bringing the hearts of our towns and our cities back into life, and I want people living there, but I will certainly keep it under a review and see if changes are needed to be made. We will make them.
Now, one that's annoying people a bit: why should my adult children have to compete to buy a modest home with the government using taxpayers' funding to outbid them in an undersupplied market? And that's part of your plan, that you're going to buy second-hand homes, and so therefore you're competing against people who are using their own hard-earned money to buy, and you're using the taxpayers' money.
So trying to solve, I suppose, all the different housing needs, there is always, unfortunately for the moment, going to be an element of different demands coming up against each other. The way to resolve this is supply, supply, supply. And that's what this plan is all about, activating supply. When we get the necessary homes delivered, we won't have that situation. And I believe we can get that situation.
Now, you're not having targets for each specific year, because there's nothing worse a government gets than miss the target. So it's better to maybe have a five-year target. Is that the idea, that a whole of government term target rather than individual yearly targets?
No, we have a whole of government target. And look, if the government doesn't hit the target, it gets beaten up. But if it exceeds the target, it gets beaten up as well. You're told the target wasn't high enough. And sometimes I find the system ends up becoming all about the targets. And what I want is just to absolutely drive delivery as quickly as possible. And that means as many homes as quickly as possible in the areas where people want to live in.
Minister, thank you very much for joining us. There's 180 pages, as I've mentioned several times. I'll have to go through it in more detail, and perhaps we'll get you back to parse it even further.
Delighted.
James Brown, Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage, thank you very much for joining us. Next.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.